News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 8.07 on Mobile Mornings. The clouds will kind of drift away. We should see a good bit of sunshine as we go along here today after those storms rolled through yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday and Sunday, where we picked up a ton of rain. And going into this past weekend for the month of March, we were, I think, 2 inches below the average and had pretty long stretches of dry weather through last month. And then after Sunday and then yesterday, the last day of the month, we're now an inch over our average for March, so you see how quickly we can catch up there.
Yeah.
And a lot of people got more than that in some areas.
People with their own home gauges were talking about
8 inches.
8 inches in Daphne and Bay Minette.
Yeah. And
that's crazy.
Some rivers overflowing, so hopefully everything getting more back to normal. It is a Tuesday morning, and that's when we talk with Quinn Hillier with QuinnHillier.com and writing for the Louisiana papers with The Advocate and also NOLA.com. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
We're great.
Hopefully you've dried out, Quinn. It's been quite a 48 hours here we've been dealing with.
Oh, my goodness. Boy, was it ever.
Yeah.
And we've been talking a lot, and we will more frequently talk about the Mobile mayoral race as we head towards August. And 8 candidates, I believe, who are in the mix here. You had your early candidates who are also the leading candidates currently, I think most would say, in Connie Hudson, Spiro Chariagatis. One of the later candidates to jump in was former police chief Paul Prine, who's also polling well in some of these polls. And then a lot of other names in the mix, too, some that you might recognize. Steve Nodine, Lawrence Batiste, Barbara Drummond, Jermaine Burrell jumped in, former councilman. And the list keeps growing, Quinn. Where do you feel we stand now? Is there more room for new names to jump in, or do you think this might be about where things stand going into August?
Well, the reason that you just asked that is, of course, because Dalton Orwig is announcing his run for mayor today, and he just wanted me to do it for you.
That's right. I would poll at negative percent for mayor.
No, we ran
the poll. Yeah.
See how you're pretending to not want to run.
Yeah.
But you gave me these instructions to bring it up.
That's right. That's
April
right.
Fools, by the way.
Yeah. I think we're talking about 2029.
Yeah. In the hundreds of years.
It's an interesting group in this race, Quinn. And I was at the Chili Cook-Off on Saturday. And ran into one of the candidates, a prominent candidate, I would think, well-known, Connie Hudson, who's been in local politics for a number of decades, really, in Mobile City and Mobile County.
Yeah,
a lot, long time. So anyway, it is interesting, the makeup of the contestants, I guess you would say. What do you think about all this?
Well, what I think about all this is I want to start hearing some actual ideas, some answers, some plans. And look, I wrote down 18 different things last night in the course of about 9 minutes. Questions that need to be answered or suggestions that need to be made. And to preface it, the answer to not a single one of them should be, well, I'm going to surround myself with the right people. Well, you know what? You got to tell the right people what they're supposed to be doing. You don't just say, oh, well, I'm going to let the right people handle it. Anybody that answers a substantive question with, I'm going to surround myself with the right people, you should immediately give them a black mark. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, I could go on and...
No, this is a good exercise. I like
this. Okay, so interrupt me when you want to, but I want to know what, and I've said this before, but what are you going to do to make the climate better for small businesses, for retail businesses? What are you going to do to infill the city, meaning use all this land and all this abandoned property that's here now that's not getting used rather than looking to, keep on expanding the boundaries? What are you going to do to stop out-migration to the outside part of the county or to Baldwin County? How are you going to help get the bridge built? How are you going to ensure that the new Civic Center is not a white elephant like the Convention Center and the Maritime Museum are often seen as being? what do you actually want to do about crime? Not just, okay, I'm going to fight crime and I've been a police chief or I've been a county commissioner or I've been a judge or whatever. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do to better serve the people with mental illness that have been left short because the state has cut back on mental illness services? Is the monopoly that Alta Point has, is that good or bad for the city and for mental illness treatment? Is the sales tax too high? Is the mayor's office too expensive? The mayor's office, my understanding is that the budget for just the mayor's office itself has gone way up. What about the budget for the city, which in recent years has grown substantially? Why do projects take so long? Why is it taking so long to get McGregor Avenue, three blocks of McGregor Avenue fixed or improved? What about Langan Park? I know that Gina Gregory is doing a good job trying to, you know, with some plans for Langan Park, but you don't see much building activity there. You don't, you know, you see some improvements, but why do all these projects take so long? What about Old Shell Road under the train trestle? They just did a wonderful job beautifying it.
Yes, but, I've talked about that. They're very nice.
Okay, but why spend the money to beautify it when you still have to close it down every time that there's a heavy rain because the drainage underneath is so messed up? What about, speaking of infill and speaking about a housing shortage, you drive down south on Michigan Avenue and you go for block after block after block of what looks like abandoned federal housing. It's all shuttered. What are you going to do about that? And then I'd like to know what you're going to do for this city's tree covers. And you know, you've got an administration that has not been seen as friendly to trees. Are you going to improve that? So that's 18 things right there, and I don't see anybody talking about much of this other than, oh, we're going to infill. Oh, we're going, okay, how? What are your plans that you want to do? And don't tell me you're just going to have the best people.
Yeah, that's a pretty extensive list, and I think some really good thought starters at the very least for some of these candidates who have jumped in, because to this point, pretty much to a T, although I think Nodine kind of went a different route, and Paul Prine in a way as well, but for most of the candidates who have jumped in, it's kind of the same stock reasoning and answer, right? And they'll say, you know, we want to make sure crime's under control. We want to make this a safe place for citizens of Mobile. But I think as we talk about the good things from this administration, that it puts a lot of pressure on whoever the next candidate is to keep those going. You look at some of the big businesses, some of the massive corporations that are in, like you mentioned, you have Austal, you have Airbus. What about the small business owners, and how are you going to make life easier for them, and how are you going to keep people from moving out of Mobile? I think that was a really good point that you put there, Quinn.
Thank you, and that's the thing. This is not a good place for retail businesses and for mom-and-pop shops and for small businesses. You know, you can say, oh, yes, it is, but the proof is in the pudding, and I mean, when you have as many buildings downtown that are sitting there empty, and other than lunch places, downtown is dead during the day, something is wrong. Mm-hmm. And look, there's nobody in the country that has written more glowing things nationally about the Stimson administration than I have, again and again and again in national publications. But there are some things that, you know, you can't do everything. There's some things that still need work, and that's what the next mayor has to talk about, is what has fallen through the cracks, rather than just talking in platitudes. And all I hear so far from most of the candidates are platitudes.
You know, one of the reasons I think there's not a lot of activity downtown, you would say, in the middle of the day, there is a business community down there. There are people going to lunch. But what Mobile has always lacked has been tourism. I mean, I know they work on it, and I think they probably have improved it. And one way you get tourism is by bringing people in en masse. And I talked to a hotel executive down at the Chili Cook-Off as well, and he said things are really going to be humming here in the next few months. Things look good in terms of all the conventions coming to town. So you've got conventions. That's one thing. But the other side of tourism would simply be a family of four from Jackson, Mississippi, that wants to come visit Mobile. Mm-hmm. And even though the name of the organization is, in fact, Visit Mobile, I think we've always trailed on that end. You look at other cities that would be comparable, and they have a certain charm to them and an attractiveness to them, and it's legitimate. But Savannah, Charleston, those are the ones that we get compared to often, and they've just got just a way greater reach in terms of people coming simply to visit their city because of its charm and what it offers. Is that fair?
Well, that is very definitely fair, and you know, it's really hard for mom and pop shops to compete when they have tied for the highest sales tax in the nation. It's hard for them to compete when, and Rob Hulbert's spoken about this, when the state and the county and in some senses the city, although I think it's collected at the county level, have this business property tax, which is insane, when the business license fees are a pain in the neck. Somebody has to analyze why it is that we don't have very good mom-and-pop retail and why we don't have artisans. I mean, look, New Orleans, yeah, you've got a bunch of bars in the French Quarter. You've got a bunch of restaurants. You've got some tchotchke shops, you know, some touristy shops. And then you've got lots and lots of good antique shops. You've got fine art shops. You've got a mix of different things, and people walk down, it's not just Bourbon Street, people walk down Royal Street, mm-hmm. and every building has something interesting in it. Well, obviously the city can't do that, but the city can figure out why the incentives are such that the private sector is
won't
not
do
doing it.
Yeah.
Well, also, I wonder, as these candidates start to try to find their own lane, when Fred Richardson years back brought up there's different wants and needs, and I forget how exactly he phrased it, but east of 65 and west of 65, that you have two different constituency bases. And I wonder, with the recent annexation bringing more people into the city that are in West Mobile, what that divide might end up looking like, because it seems like so often we're talking about the things downtown and how are we going to not just keep up what the Stips administration is doing, but you mentioned Michigan Avenue. I mean, that's going to be the thoroughfare, except
Bingo.
For 10. That'll be the thoroughfare to get you to the downtown airport.
Yeah, that 10 or Broad will be the way to get you downtown.
So that's interesting. Do they need to fix that up? You moved already a lot of people out of that area, and many of them now in West Mobile, mm-hmm. That used to kind of populate that area.
You know,
and so when you have Connie Hudson, who's this popular county commissioner, and mm-hmm. she's been working on things out on Halls Mill, just wonder how some of these candidates might line up to be more of a downtown candidate or a West Mobile kind of candidate.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Well, but everything affects everything else. There's no such thing as a mid or a large size city that doesn't have a thriving downtown. So you've got to focus there, but that doesn't mean you focus everywhere. Here's an example. Langham Park, and I brought it up earlier,
yep.
and why are there no concession stands? Why do we have I believe that aside from Flushing Meadow, still the single biggest in number of terms of courts tennis center in the country,
mm-hmm.
but you cannot get any food or drink anywhere around there. Every other major city municipal park in the country that has other things going on, they license, the city doesn't have to run concessions, but they certainly try to encourage private sector and they license private sector concessions. Why are there no concession stands? Why are there no burger places to eat around there? Why is there nothing to do that helps people stay there? You go to that wonderful tennis center, and if they have people, they have tournaments there all the time.
They do.
People
they
come from all over the country.
Yes.
And they go to the tennis courts, but there's nothing to do right around there when they're not playing tennis.
No, you're really right. I don't know the answer to that, but I mean, they have massive tournaments with people from all over the place that drive in, and they go home when they lose, so the crowd dwindles by Sunday a little bit. And I think there's food trucks, or they do something in that manner to try and feed them. But even at Medal of Honor Park, that you're really familiar with, Dalton, there's nothing out there. Really, I guess there are some chain restaurants in the area, but there's nothing near the, like, right at the park, right?
Yeah, I guess. I haven't really thought about it. I mean, you have your ice cream truck there, but, you know, generally, pack your own picnic when you're out at the park.
Yeah.
Something I haven't thought about, really.
Quinn, we'll continue this conversation right around the corner. Can you hang on?
Yes, indeed.
822, Dan, Brennan, Dalton, Orwig, April Fool's Day. Be careful. People out there want to trick you. Not us. Not us.
Nope. We're honest folks here.
It is Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Morning from Dan and Dalton and Quinn Hillier with QuinnHillier.com. We were just kind of shooting the breezer during the break and kind of kicking around some ideas, and I think you had a good thought. Quinn's talking about building in Mobile and moving forward, and you were saying, look, we've got things that are pausing right now.
There are so many big projects, and then last couple of weeks, some bad news on two of those with the company that was supposed to construct the new Bayway River and River Bridge stepping out.
Yep.
And then pausing at least three projects. You had the park, Brookley by the Bay, the animal shelter, and the fire and police training facility.
Right.
They've put a pause on all of those. And Mayor Stevenson said right now the important thing is getting this civic center across the finish line here. Big projects, but the one main project, they're kind of putting a pause on others, Quinn.
Yeah, $250 million for a new civic center. That's a lot of money. We've had this bridge trying to be built for the last 30 years, and every time it looks like we make progress, something happens, and every time it gets delayed, the price goes up, and so therefore, you have to raise more money, and you end up having to raise as much more money as you've just raised. I mean, the feds come up with hundreds of millions of dollars, but the price of the bridge has gone up more than hundreds of millions of dollars. You had Kay Ivey, out of a fit of pique, block the bridge for a year and a half. For a year and a half, she just said, I'm mad at you guys and I'm putting it on hold.
Imagine her having a fit.
And by the time that she got back on board, inflation had hit, and the prices has gone up.
Yeah.
Why are we spending $250 million on a civic center, but we can't help raise money municipally for the bridge?
Well, and we're about out of time here, Quinn. I'm just looking things over here, and I think it's going to be over $300 million when it's all said and done with the civic center. And in 2021, Savannah completed their civic center, which is a similar building, at $165 million. They did it. They pulled the trigger quicker.
Yeah, almost, 75% up now, but almost double that. That's crazy.
Yeah. All right, we have had a good discussion, Quinn, but sadly we are out of time. Let people know where they can read what you do.
You go to, the easy thing, go to QuinnHillier.com and subscribe for free.
All right, sounds good. Dalton?
All right, and coming back, we'll turn up your voice. The Mallory Piping text line, 251-343-0106. We'll get to everything you have to say. That also is not just the Mallory Piping text line, but the phone line. Give us a call if you want to jump on the air. Thank you, Kane. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. And new season here. Baseball season got cranked up last week. We had opening day, and while there's still a little April basketball ongoing, you can now add baseball to your entries at Underdog Fantasy. Baseball officially back. Make every game day more exciting with Underdog. It's one of the leading sports apps, and you can play in Alabama. It's a question I get asked often, and I've been playing Underdog Fantasy for quite some time now, having a great time opening the app, making my selections, and then firing away with these entries. To play, it's very easy. Just choose whether a player will go higher or lower on one of their stats. For basketball, we've been talking points, rebounds, assists. In baseball, you would go higher or lower on stats like strikeouts, home runs, hits, and they have a whole lot more. They've got all your favorite leagues, teams, and stars to choose from. You can either create entries with all baseball selections or mix and match across the other sports. And the more players you add to your entry, the more money you just might win. You could turn as little as $1 into $1,000 just with your baseball knowledge alone. It's easy to download the Underdog Fantasy app and sign up now using the promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N. You'll unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus credits when you make your first deposit. So join in on the fun. It's the Underdog app, promo code Dalton. Again, claim that special offer to get up to $1,000 in bonus credits instantly upon your first deposit. You must be 19 plus in Alabama and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. If you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
You know how you get certain terms you can't say in a... You can say it in conversation, but you can't say it in a commercial, like Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Got to talk about the big game.
Mm-hmm.
I've got an idea for you. Is April Madness... Is that allowed? Owned by someone, a trademark, because I don't think it is. March Madness is.
Yeah, March Madness is trademarked.
In the end of the day, these three games. It's going to be April Madness.
I don't know how mad it is when they're all one seeds, though, and you don't have any Cinderella stories. It's not very mad.
Well, no, you're right. But it's the pinnacle of the entire tournament. Here we go. Here's the end of it. And it's a lot of fun. I think San Antonio is probably really happy they've got that Final Four. I haven't watched much basketball at all this year, and I've been fascinated by these games and these players that I wasn't really aware of and these teams, and it's been fun.
Yeah, I'm surprised by how many Auburn fans I've talked to who are going to at least attempt to make that trip to San Antonio. I think many of them have been planning it all year, which is pretty bold to plan on going to the Final Four. The odds your team make it there, even if they are a top seed or the top seed like Auburn. They had to escape a couple times along the way, but now some folks maybe get to see him play for a national championship.
I could see, but Auburn was nearly number one when the season started. Weren't they up there then?
I think Bama started the year as number one.
Wow.
And Auburn was up there near the top. I can't remember where they began, but yeah, it's been a heck of a year for teams from our state playing basketball of all the sports. Bill texting in and says, my Spanish advisor, L-M-N-O-P, I see the joke there, Bill.
L-M-N-O-P.
Warned me not to trust everything I see and hear on April 1st. And it is April Fool's Day. We've been trying to warn you all morning. Just be aware. Today, like one of the stories, I'm not sure if it's real or not, Coastal Carolina saying that they're going to have free concessions beginning this football year. I think four items in their concession stands will be free to people that go to the games. It's like hot dogs, sodas, maybe pizza and one more item possibly, but that's just to get people in the door, and it kind of makes sense. They're not giving beer away for free. If that was part of the story, I would lean heavily towards it being an April Fool's joke.
If that were part of the story, you would lean heavily to purchasing season tickets.
I would.
Even though they're 800 miles away.
And CB Carl, concerned about being tricked as well, he said, good morning, guys. Please tell me the story about so-called grown-ups sleeping with stuffed animals is an April Fool's joke. That is not an April Fool's joke.
That is not an April Fool's joke. We've heard from the text line, the Mallory Piping text line, that some of you are
stuffed animal enthusiasts yourselves. Yeah, yeah. I think one texter said their niece gave them a stuffed animal. I can't remember what animal they said, but it's one of these you throw in the microwave, and I guess it warms it up and makes it a lavender scent or something like that. So we have had at least one person chime in and say they don't snuggle with it, they said, but they have the stuffed animal on hand. That stat that CNN had, they're claiming that the pandemic drove adults into sleeping with stuffed animals.
Yeah.
In 2024, they say 21% of plush toys were sold to adults over 18. Now, I've bought stuffed animals.
To give them away.
I'm well over 18. Well, yeah. Give them away to
give
my children,
kids,
who then immediately treat them like I didn't just buy it. But they had this survey, Build-A-Bear, which I just spent some money at Build-A-Bear this past weekend.
Where are they locally?
So they're at the Wharf, and okay. I think there's still one maybe in the Shops of Bel Air. I'm not sure if it's in there or not.
I think they were originally a Vermont, because when I go up to see my brother, it seemed that that's where Build-A-Bear came out. So it was like a big deal. Hey, outside of Burlington, go to the original Build-A-Bear.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Don't tell my kids that. Don't want to take a trip to Vermont. But so they did a survey, found that more than half of people held on to a childhood stuffed animal, and about 40% in this survey said they sleep with a plush toy. I don't know if I believe those numbers, but that is a real story from CNN, and they published it before today, April Fool's Day.
They've known for fake news.
They are. Maybe they unintentionally did some fake news there. Yeah,
how about a ball glove? I think when I was a kid, the only thing that I might have taken to bed with me, this looks like, this sounds like an advertisement for Dick's Sporting Goods, but I, you know, with a kid like cradled up with his glove.
Yeah.
But when I get a new ball glove,
you got to break it in.
Have a certain smell to it. Mm-hmm. They smell good.
That leather.
And you got to break it in, so you would have it with you. I think for a couple of times I took that to bed, but I was in the bed with someone named Eddie.
Might need to clarify this story.
Yeah, well, it's my brother.
Okay.
And he's 2 years older, and people yelling out Nazi, Nazi, Nazi about Trump and about Elon Musk. And I would say you could direct that legitimately to Eddie, yeah. Because he was a rough guy to grow up with, and so, you know, that's stupid, Danny, bringing your glove. So anyway, I remember that it was a brief, wonderful childhood moment interrupted
by
Eddie.
Eddie did it. Yeah. So you slept with a glove. I'm sure I went to bed with a football or a basketball.
Yeah.
You hear those stories when it ends up being a Hall of Fame athlete. I grew up with a glove on my hand.
That's why you never heard my story.
When it's Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwick, no one talks about the hard work we put in our childhood.
I've never mentioned it on the air or in conversation with anyone ever before.
Hey, so
there you go.
Maybe start doing that again, sleeping with a baseball glove.
Yeah.
You might have like a career renaissance if you do that.
call me Mr. Lonely.
Buddy says, is that not an oxymoron? A true story from CNN, rock and roll doctor. as we were talking about the city of Mobile and what the next mayor should or shouldn't do or say, let's see, rock and roll doctor says, Sandy Bear, I guess you're alluding to the current mayor, Sandy Stimson. Sandy Bear's got to be feeling really good now that Quinn Hilter says he has done such a wonderful job. I guess the Sandy Bear can now go hibernate and believe he did the job good enough. That's from Rock and Roll Doctor. Paul, we sleep with live fluffs. The cats come whether we want them or not. Sometimes one, sometimes two, sometimes all three.
Wow.
And Sean asking, does his golden retriever count as a stuffed animal?
No, a golden retriever.
That counts as a dog.
A live
golden
animal.
Retriever. You're in the clear here. And CB Carl, dang, we sure have a bunch of nut jobs in this country. Texter here, if you want people to visit Mobile and stop moving to Baldwin County, don't build the bridge that will serve as a bypass and expressway out of Mobile. Well, it could also serve as is bringing people to Mobile.
Yeah,
but
I think the thing's going to go both ways. That's the plan.
Yeah, that would be terrible if it didn't. but I see what you're saying. Let's trap the people here with our terrible interstate. That way the population sticks around. Angry Patriot Mobile decided they're going to build the bridge going to the Bayway this year. Ha, April Fools. It does seem like we all got bamboozled once again, although we're hopefully not to that point where, because the mayor, he said last week when the news came out that the company contracted to work on this thing wasn't going to do it, he said they're still planning on breaking ground this year. So whatever that means, that's the plan.
Yeah. I guess if they've defaulted back to the company that's building the Bayway are also going to build the bridge now.
Okay.
I think that's what the announcement alluded to, but it's weird that the company that has bowed out, their name was the Mobile Bay Bridge or Bay, I don't know.
Company.
Their name was the project.
Hal says, downtown is the Dracula that sucked the city services out of much of Mobile. While hundreds of millions have been spent on downtown, our pleas for help go unanswered. Bright and historic crime are the legacy of Stimson. Our homicide rate is higher than that of L.A. or San Francisco. That's from Hal on the text line. Doesn't have Meta, says, let Quinn know we don't want to be New Orleans. It is the armpit of hell. That's what Doesn't Have Meta said there, as Quinn was comparing some of the retail available downtown in New Orleans compared to retail and small businesses in Mobile downtown.
Every edge of New Orleans, we don't want to be all of that. I get it, but there's no denying the fact that New Orleans is a tourism town. It's a small city, It's not a, it's a small city in two ways. It's a small city by population to have like a Superdome and a big enough fan base to fill that place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a small city by square mileage. It's not, you from one end to the other, if you get on Claiborne Street, you can kind of get from downtown to Tulane to whatever. I don't know the layout of the city, except for the fact that it's alarmingly small when it comes to
how many people they host.
Yeah, and how many people visit New Orleans itself. It similar to that would be Boston. The city of Boston itself, not that big.
Yeah.
Maybe 400,000 people live in the city.
Even the locals are commuters, right? They come to the Saints games. They're from other parts of Louisiana,
right,
and Mississippi, and the surrounding states.
Right.
251-343-0106 if you want to hop on the Mallory Piping text line. A lot of stuff going on in Montgomery as well. We'll certainly this week, maybe this morning, hit on some more of that new legislative actions that are being taken. But tomorrow is such a big day with this Trump stuff and the Liberation Day, as he's calling April 2nd, where tit-for-tat tariffs are expected to be announced across a number of industries and involving a ton of countries. Yesterday, with his trusty assistant Kid Rock by his side in the Oval Office.
That was a picture.
Trump was talking some about this, and he went a little long talking about his plans for tariffs and what he may or may not reveal tomorrow, but I think this is worth listening to.
Understanding it, because they've been ripping us for 50 years. Longer, but they've been ripping us off for years, right from the beginning. And I think this is going to be an amazing, I call it a lot of different names, but it's really, in a sense, it's a rebirth of a country, because how we could have afforded to do what we did, we help everybody, and they don't help us. I really, the term I like best probably is the liberation of America. It's the liberation of this country, because it's incredible. Look, we have $36 trillion in debt for a reason, and that accumulates over a long period of time. So I think what you're going to be seeing over the next couple of days will be very inspiring to a lot of people. You know, they had a lot of auto plants being built in a certain country. I don't want to mention the country because we get along great with the country, but those plants aren't being built there anymore. They gave them up today and yesterday, day before. And they're building them all now in the United States. And we have many examples, not only auto plants. Chip companies from Taiwan are coming in. The biggest, Mr. Wei, he's big. I said, you are a smart guy, aren't you? I've been reading about him over the years, but he controls a large portion of the chip business, as you know. You don't get smarter. They're going to be investing $200 or $300 billion. Apple's investing $500 billion. You know, they always built their places in China. Now he's building here. I think because of you speak to Tim Cook, because of the election, but maybe more importantly because of the tariffs. You know, he's got really an obligation to do it. But we have many, many companies that you haven't even heard of. But I think we'll be at $5 trillion very soon. And if you think about this, we've never been anywhere near that. I don't know if we've ever been at $1 trillion.
What do you mean by that?
We're 500. What do I mean by a trillion?
$5 trillion. What are you referring to, sir?
I think that we're going to be at $5 trillion of investment. I think you're going to have investments very shortly. We're already 3.5, and we have commitments, verbal commitments, for a lot more. And numbers like that have never been done in this country.
So, okay, there's this sense of suspense, I guess you could say.
I would say so.
The way he's hyped it up is, everyone stay tuned, and we're bound to tomorrow. I don't know when it happens, and I don't know if Kid Rock will be with him by his side.
If he'll be the opener? Yeah, because that was to talk about the ticket scalping, right, by the big ticket.
Yeah.
And so that's what Kid Rock was there to announce. Of course, more people were interested in this massive economic announcement and how exactly Trump, via the executive office, will remake trade and economic policies in our country.
Well,
and
in between his first announcing it, the idea of it, and the announcement itself, like here's what's actually going to happen, you got a lot of people, especially those on the left, losing their minds, and some people in the middle losing their minds as well.
And it's funny, I'm sure that all of a sudden, left and right, all around the country, all of these tariff experts have popped up over the last few months.
Yeah.
And I'm confident enough in myself and my own abilities to tell you, I didn't know a damn thing about tariffs 6, 7, 8 months ago, except for some of the things I'd heard Peter Navarro talking about a couple years ago as far as China and how you could use tariffs as a battle in that trade kind of war we have going on with China. And then I've certainly learned more since then, but all of the so-called, you know, experts, and what's so difficult is knowing who's shilling for what.
Sure.
Right? Because people have certain industries they're trying to protect, or people that are paying them that are, that want them to point policy in a certain direction. So even these genius economists, how much of what they're saying do they even know, or are they putting on a front for someone else? It's tough to tell, but it does seem that a majority of economists don't like this idea of really raising tariffs pretty much to a T. They say it will raise money. It'll basically be a tax, and that middle class and lower, everyone will be paying more for certain things because of these tariffs. I think they are discounting some of the things that Trump is doing in concert with this announcement, and that's really doing away with many regulations on industries like the car making industry.
Yeah.
And they're not just saying that the tariffs will bring business back to the United States, but also
the lack of regulations.
And so I don't know how you tie all of this together, knocking income tax brackets out of the way, this huge tax cut that they're trying to continue from Trump's first term that's coming up against the chopping block here soon, doing away with regulations and then raising tariffs. It seems to me like a big ball of this might work, and many voters are putting their trust, their retirement, their current finances in the Trump administration's hands. That's why tomorrow is such a big deal.
I think my guess is tomorrow is not going to be as big a deal as the hype would indicate, you know, in terms of the tariffs and what actually concretely gets done. Okay. Mm. Also, as far as the experts, I always thought about this back when the 2007-2008 collapse, the housing collapse. There were people on TV every day on news channels and shows that are talking about individual wealth and the economy of the country. Every day. That's their job.
Yeah.
Nobody mentioned that before it happened.
Mm.
No, but none of the experts saw one of the biggest collapses in our lifetime. How is that? Yeah. And how does that make you an expert?
Good point. Do we go back, and we had it with the pharmaceutical industry too.
We did.
And the health industry.
Yeah.
These people who are your so-called experts missing the mark in major ways.
Were they missing Godzilla?
Did they not believe their own eyes, or were they shilling for, I don't know, the housing industry or the government when they overlooked that?
Could have been chilling. We do have a lack of trust in these institutions now, don't we? Wonder how that happened. 852, Dan and Dalton, good morning. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, 855. What's going on?
A lot of text on the Mallory Piping text line.
Yep.
And once again, so happy to be joined on this show and stationed by Mallory Piping,
yes,
the go-to choice for professional plumbing solutions across not just Mobile County, not just Baldwin County, but the Gulf Coast here. And welcome to Mallory Piping, sponsoring the text line this morning and turning up your voice. Joel says, y'all keep listening to those so-called professionals. They suck. They don't know what the blank they're talking about. That's pretty much what we were getting at there, Joel, in the last segment. Not so much that they're stupid people, the experts we're talking about here, that they break out for every big announcement. And you see them on Fox and CNN. We bring experts on here when we can. Mm-hmm. Experts everywhere, experts. And we were talking about, not that they're stupid people, they're not. And there are experts I follow and trust, and most of them are kind of off the beaten path on Substack now, but they're out there nonetheless. Maybe not writing for mainstream institutions. So there are smart people that know policy and know whether it works or not. I just think it's difficult to place your trust in someone who's billed as an expert when experts miss the mark all the time. And the two most recent big ones, Dan talked about the housing crisis, and you have Jim Cramer up there who's been blabbering for years, for decades. And now the joke is, if he says something's going to happen, put all your money in the opposite basket because that's what's actually going to happen. Well,
I just remember that, say the crisis news hit Thursday. On Wednesday, Jim Cramer is on for whatever time he's got to be, and he's manic and he's running around and he's not mentioning
the housing crisis.
The housing crisis. Yeah. So if he's the expert, like you said, What do we do with the experts if the tariffs actually work?
Mm-hmm.
We have to reclassify them as, I don't know, middle school gym teachers or umpires or something else. You can no longer be an economist if you are crying one thing and the actuality is that the policy actually works.
And so the onus is certainly on Trump.
Yeah.
And the Trump administration to make this work.
And he's got a team of people, I think, that are competent people, mm-hmm. at Navarro and on, maybe a team of six.
But if you're looking online for support, expert support for the Trump tariffs, it's out there. But by and large, you go to these sites, many of them the mainstream sites, and to a T, every economist is saying this won't work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who to believe is what the whole thing is. And if the tariffs work along with the deregulation and everything else this administration is doing to try to bring jobs back to the United States and to make the middle class stronger in this economy, if that all works out, what do you do with all these economists, all these Wall Street Journal experts? And you just go down the list, every one of them saying it's not working and putting fear into Americans, which may be warranted.
But we don't know yet.
We don't know yet.
And also, we don't know exactly what the plan is going to be that he rolls out. Has he had conversations behind the scenes with certain countries or certain entities that are going to lessen what he does? And he says also the news will inspire America.
Mm-hmm.
How will tariffs inspire America? So I think Trump's got something up his sleeve.
It sure seems that way. That's where he likes to be, right?
Yes.
And an ace card hiding there somewhere. 8:59, the Jeff Porcher on the way next. Andrew Sorrell, Parker Griffith, and John Wall on the way.